The U.S. has a message for UN member states. Vote with the United States or we'll cut your aid.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, and we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And this now at the United Nations, the U.S. is circulating and putting together a memo, the U.S. mission to the United Nations, and our ambassador, Nikki Haley, who leads that mission, referred, remember, during the vote on the recognition of Jerusalem that occurred in the U.S. when our president, who had the authority by Congress to authorize that recognition and has been authority given to many presidents in the past who were unwilling to take that step to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And Ambassador Haley said, we are watching how you vote. That policy is now coming together in a U.S. in a kind of broader way of how do you implement a policy at the world stage where the U.S. is in some instances conditioning foreign aid, foreign funding on how U.N. member states, how various countries vote at the United Nations. So if you're not supporting the U.S., and even percentages are being listed, you know, this country only votes with us 20% of the time, we're funding them with this many billions of dollars, this country, and they have no domestic reason why their leaders should be afraid or concerned that if they take a vote a certain way, that we will actually, that will cause some kind of domestic unrest. A lot of this occurs, too, in the African countries, in Caribbean countries. When it comes to Israel specifically, domestically, and we've got offices in Kenya, Zimbabwe, but even it gets into the Caribbean, it gets into South America, where there is strong support for the state of Israel amongst the people. So if you recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and your country voted yes on that at the UN, which almost all did not, that would not cause any kind of domestic unrest. And the U.S. is making the difference between an Egyptian stability, if they are taking steps like on the Gaza border to shut down passageways to Hamas. We're not going to necessarily cut all aid. So it's not a burn it all down kind of strategy. It is nuanced. But I want to get your thoughts on this. Should the U.S. adopt this policy straightforward at the U.N., stand with the U.S., vote with the United States at the U.N., or you are risking your foreign funding? We're already starting to see some cuts there. Give us a call. I want your thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. There's always questions that have come in. I'll go to Than Bin in Washington, D.C., as our Director of Government Affairs, but also Than does a lot of work at the U.N. here in New York. We have gotten these calls, Than, for many years on the broadcast, and we have not had administrations, Republican or Democrat, who are really willing, even to what Ambassador Haley already said about the Jerusalem vote that we are watching, but that now we're taking that one vote and kind of implementing a larger policy about funding these specific member states.
It's kind of shocking to me, Jordan, to be honest with you, that this is a debate we even need to have. I mean, there's no fundamental right for a foreign country to receive the valuable U.S. taxpayer dollars. But, Jordan, and you know this well, that's really how we've been operating for a long period of time now. There's sort of a default expectation that the United States is going to fund everybody around the world. And if we're to pull any of those dollars back, it's somehow a shocking move. That really turns it exactly on its head. And what this administration has said now is something that we have called for a long time, that there should be a reason for us to issue dollars to another country. And Jordan, there can be multiple reasons. I mean, advancing U.S. interests should be the primary one. But of course, when there's a humanitarian crisis, the United States has been and should continue to be the most generous nation in the world. I think this new policy is consistent. And honestly, Jordan, to answer your question, this policy should have been implemented decades ago. I think it should be in place immediately.
I mean, it seems pretty basic. For other countries and other world powers, they would certainly, I think, adopt this policy when they take these positions. They don't really have to, but you've got these countries who will take millions from the U.S. and think it's just going to come in without having to do anything for it or like supporting U.S. policy positions. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're just joining us on the broadcast and missed the opening of the broadcast, the ambassador to the UN for the United States, Ambassador Haley, and her team at the United Nations through the Trump administration is circulating a policy memo, putting together a policy memo, following up directly on, remember, we can go back, when Ambassador Haley said before that vote to condemn the recognition by the U.S. of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And we talked about that extensively. We went through the countries. I mean, I think it was a dozen or so countries that actually voted with the U.S. And then there were a number of countries that took no vote, which, again, that can be kind of the domestic pressures. But that was the starting point, because we said, we're going to be watching how you vote. Now, the second part of that is, how do you implement a policy, follow up on watching how people vote? So the U.S. putting together a memo so that the world is on record, and so that these countries can't say, hey, why are you changing this policy before? Specifically laying out conditions for getting U.S. aid, and walking through how in countries that you're not going to cause a protest if you support unraveling of the whole government and a military coup if you recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And they point out three countries specifically, just kind of giving examples. Some of these countries, too, countries we've done a lot of work in at the through the ACLJ and our international affiliates. And I will tell you, traveling there, you would have no issue. In fact, probably you would have support rallies in the street if you were standing stronger with the state of Israel publicly as a political leader. And so there's no excuse for voting against the U.S. on that issue. That was kind of the starting point. There's many others where the world treats us as kind of a starting point is, we'll probably vote no against what the U.S. proposes, and you've got to sell us on why, even though we're the country giving out millions of dollars to them. So here's some examples, and we're going to get right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. I want your thoughts on this new foreign policy move, implementing the idea that the U.S. is actually paying attention to how countries are voting at the UN, and we're not just going to fund, they call it legacy programs. So just because we've always funded it in the past does not mean you're going to get your check for $5 million this month, and next month another school built, and next month another training center built, if you're consistently voting against U.S. foreign policy. So you are against the U.S. fundamentally in the decisions we make as a country. And at the same time, you expect the United States to be doling out these millions of dollars to us. And we're not talking about a single humanitarian emergency that may be happening in a country. We're not even saying so far as if you're the president of Egypt, that vote on Jerusalem could cause serious domestic unrest. But if you're doing right things with the military to fight terrorism, to secure the border with Gaza, which the Egyptian president has, that we can, again, we're not going to condition it all on every single vote, but we have to kind of get the world to understand. So let me read specifically from the report today and then get to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The staff who have put together the memo have cited three specific funded projects that they say are worth reconsidering in view of how these countries have voted and their lack of support for U.S. positions. One is a $3.1 million job training program in Zimbabwe, a $6.6 million climate change program in Vietnam, and a $4.9 million school construction program in Ghana. The memo tallied its $580 million in total U.S. support for just those three countries. Just those three countries. $580 million to a country like Zimbabwe, Vietnam, and Ghana. We have an office in Zimbabwe. That kind of support, I mean, they use one example of the job training for Zimbabwe when you talk about millions. But you combine the other millions and millions, that should be a country. They've had, obviously, a leadership change, but that is on board with the U.S. with these policies. I mean, they're benefiting the most, and yet they're siding with Iran. They're siding with North Korea, and they're taking the positions of like a Venezuela, and instead of standing with the United States. The percentage-wise, at the UN, only 54% of the time does Ghana vote for U.S. In favor of U.S. foreign policy proposals, 38% from Vietnam, and only 19% from Zimbabwe. So they are taking, again, positions that are fundamentally opposed to the United States, and almost at least half, and obviously and more so, 80% of the time, plus against the U.S. foreign policy interests. I want to go right to the phones because people always have thoughts on this. How do we kind of stop throwing away money to the world and not getting what we need in return for this? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and let's go right to the phones. Jeanette is calling in from Kansas online too. Jeanette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Hi, Jeanette. You're on the air.
Yes, I am. I would just like to say that I stand 100% in favor and support of what President Trump is doing and what UN Ambassador Haley is presenting. It's my feeling that we have, gone to the aid of country after country after country for millions, it seems like millions of years, but it's not have been millions of years, but for a good number of years, and given taxpayer money to aid them with no accountability at all. If people think that this is the first time that this whole scenario has been used of you vote this way or I'm going to keep the money back, I'm sure that other presidents have said you vote my way or you're not going to get money flown in a suitcase and a helicopter. The very idea that people think this is a new idea to hold countries accountable, it's just being done out in the open now. If he's standing up face-to-face with these folks and saying, vote the way I want you to vote or you're not going to get any help.
Well, and you know what, Jeanette? This stabilizes a lot of these countries, which have pretty tough economies, not a lot of opportunities for people. So if the U.S. comes in and spends millions of dollars on this program, millions here, for these politicians, these are a lot of countries where, again, you get military coups, you get dictatorships, you don't have a lot of human rights. And because of that, if you push the people too far, they don't have a lot to lose taking to the streets and trying to throw you out of power. And we've seen that happening in countries specifically referenced. And Thane, as Jeanette said, and I think there was a good point to make, it's happened in the past before, but it hasn't really taken a position of, I think, where you've got this policy laid out to the world. And if you want to give us a call about this and discuss it, 1-800-684-3110. Should the United States stop funding countries who oppose us at the United Nations? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. And Than, Ambassador Bolton, who was the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., he said that there was a vote in 1990 where U.S. Secretary of State James Baker said to Yemen, this was before the Gulf War, this will be the most expensive vote you ever take if you vote against the U.S. intervention against Saddam Hussein before the Gulf War began. Yemen still voted that way. And now look at Yemen today. Totally destabilized country, probably starting with how they made those decisions in the 1990s, carrying forward into the 2000s, where there's no stable government. It is not a stable place to be. And that's what happens when the U.S. stops working with you.
I think that's correct, Jordan. There have been way too few examples of that. I think if the United States had been consistent in taking that posture, there would be way fewer departures from U.S. key votes like the one that Yemen took. And I would just point this out as well, and Jeanette sort of alluded to this, but this is how the rest of the world operates, Jordan. I mean, honestly, none of the rest of the world can even compare to the United States when it comes to the humanitarian considerations that we put into our funding. All of the rest of the world looks at advancing their own interest in the international community. What the Trump administration is talking about now is just injecting the U.S. interest component into our consideration. You know, you talked about the $6.6 million being spent in Vietnam on climate change. Jordan, there's no humanitarian need there. There is not a substantive issue that advances U.S. foreign policy. So our consideration on whether or not to spend that $6.6 million should be whether or not Vietnam is standing with us in advancing U.S. interest at the United Nations. Guess what, Jordan? What was the figure you gave? 38%? The answer is they are not. That $6.6 million should come back to us immediately.
Folks, again, as we go into this next break, we want to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. Comments coming in through Facebook as well about the funding specifically. And again, just an example, three countries that are in this memo, three scenarios where it's a few million here, 6 million here, 5 million here, but the total is nearly $600 million of aid just to those three countries who are all at least 51% of the time plus, and some up to 80% are voting against the U.S. positions at the U.N., and yet we've been funding these programs without any consequences for how these countries vote at the United Nations. So we're taking your calls. We want your thoughts on this at 1-800-684-3110. Is the U.S. putting into place, we're watching how you vote. Well, what does that mean for the world? Now we're starting to see this come together from the Trump administration and a message to the world. We have a matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ this month is doubled. You can be part of that matching challenge by donating online at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
The U.S. is now preparing to implement the policy that was highlighted by our ambassador to the United Nations, Ambassador Nikki Haley, who was, again, nominated for that position by President Trump, when she said before that vote of the U.N. condemning the United States for the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, that the U.S. would be watching. And now putting that policy into action by saying that how you vote at the U.N. as a country could affect your foreign funding that you receive from U.S. taxpayers. And again, it's a nuanced approach. It's not saying for every country is going to be treated the same and we're going to take this policy. So we're still going to look at what is happening in this country, what's happening on the ground in this country, why they may have to take some votes on their own because of domestic audiences and unrest in the country. At the same time, though, there are plenty which you literally cannot come up with good reasons other than you've got politics there where they say they don't, you know, they're against the U.S., but, oh, they will take our dollars. I mean, so it makes it pretty easy for politicians in these other countries when you can say, see, we're so strong and tough and we stand up to the United States at every chance of the way, and the U.S. is still giving you millions and millions of dollars to your country to fund programs, basically to keep your people from overthrowing you and taking to the streets in a lot of these instances. And there are examples that when the U.S. pulls out, you could see what happens to countries that have been receiving that funding and the instability that that can cause, which I think should get the world's attention. The world should be a little bit scared right now. It's not a threat to everyone, and I think that's clearly made in this memo, but to those who have no excuse, no good reason for taking stands against the U.S. at this kind of steps, that you've got to make a choice. Just make a choice. We're not invading your country if you don't vote that way. We're not going to war. It's about giving you humanitarian assistance to the tune of, just think about Zimbabwe, Ghana, and I will tell you, our work in Zimbabwe would greatly benefit from the U.S. taking a position like this. Because it's been very difficult. You've had a change in leadership. So you have an opportunity there now where there has been a significant change in leadership in Zimbabwe, elections coming up again. And these are countries where, again, you've got just those three, $580 million in 1 year. And the best example there was that Ghana only is with us 54% of the time. So they're above half. Next down, Vietnam at 38%, and then Zimbabwe only 19%. And these are not, again, this is not, we're not supposed to be, these are not countries like Iran and North Korea, but they are siding with those countries. And it's actually, pretty unilateral. And I do want to get to phone calls, but I think it's important to note, because we do all this work at the UN and we have offices around the world, these are countries who are deciding to kind of throw their lot in with Russia, throw their lot in with Iran and Syria and these other countries, which, again, are not handing out hundreds of millions of dollars to them every year for nothing in return.
Yeah, and then working operationally in New York City and Geneva and the other places of the United Nations against the United States, Jordan. I mean, you've seen this. These delegations literally working the floor in opposition to U.S. interests. And look, especially when you're not talking about humanitarian dollars, and a lot of the examples you gave weren't humanitarian in the first place, Jordan. So if they're not humanitarian in the first place, and if they don't advance U.S. interests, and if that country is actively behaving hostily to the interest of the United States at the United Nations, can you think of a single good reason to continue giving that fund, those funds? Because I cannot. And for so long, though, we have not even been willing to inject that as one consideration, one rubric. It has been inappropriate to say, does this advance U.S. interest? That question has been deemed inappropriate by the rest of the world. But guess what? This president and this ambassador don't much care if the rest of the world thinks that's inappropriate. They're going to put American interests first.
Jim is calling in from Illinois on line one. I think it's a good question because a lot of people have asked this over years as we've done this broadcast, and now we have an administration taking some steps on it. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. How are you doing?
We're good.
I'm just thinking, how come we don't just stop all aid? Like Trump said, you're America first. Why don't we just stop everything until we pay our own $20 trillion deficit down?
No, I think the general statement is you would look at each place you fund. But I think, Jim, one reason you don't say we're just going to unilaterally take this step is we are the world's power. Being the world's power does not come with no responsibilities. And because the U.S. has got a lot of adversaries around the world because of our position as a world power, you need to make sure, and Dan, I think this is important, that economically you're not going to be hurting the United States by these steps. You still, if America's first and it's in America's interest, even economically, to make sure that shipping routes stay open and are secured because of funding that goes into a country for military support that may not always be on our side, on foreign policy decisions at votes at the UN, you would still want to make sure that shipping route stays open because of its impact on the U.S. economy. And I think that's an easy example right. That we see in a lot of the Straits of Tehran. We see it at the Horn of Africa as well.
Well, that would be that money having a direct impact on U.S. interest in the correct direction. But, Jordan, I think the fundamental shift here, and it doesn't have to be all or nothing, but it is a paradigm shift. It's going to say we're going to look at a country like Palestine, and while they get, $800 million on average, our starting basis is not going to be $800 million just by default, and you're going to have to convince us how to withhold. Our starting basis for every country, Jordan, is going to be zero, and then we're going to look and see if there's justifications for doling out funds. In many cases, like you said, there will be, and frankly, there will be even in countries who aren't necessarily our allies. We have to make those considerations with multiple impacts in mind. So it's not that every country in the world that's hostile to us is going to go down to zero. But Jordan, that's where they do have to start. They have to justify, or we have to justify, that first dollar that goes into the country.
And this is really a message to countries in the world that have no reason. I mean, they could not write an even private memo to the U.S., have a meeting behind the scenes, closed door meeting with our ambassador, say, hey, listen, we don't want to take this vote. We wish we didn't have to take this vote, but here's the reasons why. These are countries that could not put that together. They have no excuse, no good reason, publicly or privately, for the United States to take the positions that they do, other than the fact that we've let them take these positions in the past. We have a second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live, and we are taking your phone calls on this topic at 1-800-684-3110. Should the U.S. stop funding countries and providing humanitarian support and millions of dollars, we're talking billions and billions of dollars a year, to countries who are opposing the United States at the UN and our foreign policy decisions and condemning the United States at the United Nations? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. This is more controversial than it may sound coming from us and the discussion we're having. And we'll kind of get into that as well. Why is this controversial? Who is opposing to this? What is the other side of this issue? And again, you can see why these countries may not like it. But even internally in our own country, you have those who would like to just keep doling out your money to countries who are fundamentally opposed to our positions. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We take a lot more phone calls in the second half hour of the broadcast, and that is coming up right now, 1-800-684-3110. We have a matching challenge right now at aclj.org. Any support you're able to give financially to the ACLJ, and we have NGO status at the UN through our European Center for Law and Justice. We have offices around the world, so we're talking about these issues. Listen, we have an office in Zimbabwe. It's a country listed here. And I'm telling you, this would help our work. We need more standing with the United States there and not being afraid politically to stand with the U.S. or stand with Israel. 1-800-684-3110 to support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Your donation is doubled through our matching challenge. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
on into the broadcast now. We're going to get to your calls in just a minute. We're going to take a lot of calls in this second half hour. So people that want to weigh in on this issue are able to, and our phone lines are full right now. But people, again, they always are opening up. So if you give us a call at 1-800-684-3110, we will get to your comments and questions on this. People are sometimes just joining us in our second half hour, so I want to reset this for those who may be. Our ambassador to the United Nations, you remember, that vote that was taken to condemn the United States for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And it was an overwhelming vote condemning the U.S. for this move. That we said through our ambassador that we are going to watch how these countries vote. And we have that sound. I want to play it for you because it sets the stage for how we're implementing a policy following up on that statement at the United Nations. Here's our ambassador during that vote, just to remind you all of what happened there.
America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do. And it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that. But this vote will make a difference on how Americans look at the UN and on how we look at countries who disrespect us in the UN. And this vote will be remembered.
These countries, they heard those tough words, and they still thought tough talk from the U.S. won't actually be implemented. I guarantee you that's what they thought, is that no, they're not going to actually be willing to do this. It's so, you know, we've gotten these millions and millions of dollars every year. It doesn't matter what we do at the UN. It doesn't matter that we work with direct adversaries often. So even though these may be votes against policy, these countries are also doing business with the countries that are in direct conflict with ours, that say death to America, for instance, and they're doing business with Iran, and they're letting those countries in. And by the way, are they getting humanitarian assistance from them? Do you think that Iran is coming into your country and saying, you do this for us, we ask for nothing in return? Yeah, they may be giving you things if you're giving them your uranium or your diamond mines or other products that you may have and other mining abilities. And they may say, all right, we'll build this if you do this back for us. Or we may sell you this if at a less price if you do this for us. But they don't just dole it out. And so we're taking that position that if you want to keep getting U.S. aid and support, you're going to have to start giving us reasons why you're taking these stands. And if you have no good reason for it, you're not going to be able to just assume that this money is coming to you. 1-800-684-3110. I do want to take a lot of phone calls. People have been holding on the line, so let's get right to one. Just in this first segment of the broadcast, Patty in California on line 5. Patty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you. I'll try not to be too nervous. I do agree with the United States holding funds against countries that are actually fighting us. I think we need to be heard and follow through with what we stand for. So,
well, I think, Patty, let me just say, that is the key moment of this policy, Than. We've had strong talk before from the U.S. to the U.N. We've seen these instances happen very, again, it was you can reference a 1990 action with Yemen. But this is something, again, you've got to follow, you've got to implement. When we said we're going to watch how you vote, we had to put this into a policy. That's coming together now. And then you have to back that policy up with action.
Happened. I mean, that has not been the U.S. posture for a long time. You have to reference a 1990 vote. It's been too long since the United States has used the leverage it's had at the United Nations. And I would say this, I think the countries, Jordan, have been conditioned to believe that nothing will happen. So now some of them think this is all talk and there won't be follow through. It's because that has been the U.S. position for decades. But guess what? With this new policy that's going on, and they've even quoted specific programs, Jordan. So if you don't think they're willing to follow through, I think those countries have another thing coming.
All right. In our next segment of the broadcast, we'll continue to discuss this, and we want to take your comments in as well. Phone lines are busy right now. People have a lot to say on this. 1-800-684-3110, though, and get your calls in as well. We've got our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Whatever you're able to donate to the ACLJ is double because of our matching challenge. That's at ACLJ.org. Be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have got some comments and a lot of phone calls coming in as well, but comments through our Facebook and Periscope audience and questions that I want to answer right off the top of the bat as we discuss this, putting policy words into action now. So the next step of saying we're going to watch how you vote at the United Nations, which our ambassador said, as we played for you on that Jerusalem vote, condemning the U.S. for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the majority of the United States, of the UN member states, overwhelmingly voted against the United States there. That was the majority vote. At the same time, the U.S. says, we're watching. Now we're putting those words into a policy so that these countries are on notice for what we are going to be doing now as you take votes that are against the U.S. position. And what it's going to fundamentally impact is countries who have no reason why, publicly or privately, where they could come to the U.S. and explain why you're taking this vote. What is a good reason for you to say, we'll take your millions of dollars, but I've got to vote against you 60% of the times? And if you're Egypt, I can see state. I could write the memo for Egypt. I could write what you need to say to the U.S. ambassador. But if you are Zimbabwe, a country I've visited a number of times because of our office there, met with a lot of government officials there. When I've been in the churches, which is overwhelmingly Christian country, the flag of the state of Israel is flying right next to Zimbabwe's, and yet the government of Zimbabwe is only voting with the U.S., and again, aligned with Israel in many of these votes, 19% of the time. Now, 19% of the time is basically when the U.S. is voting with the rest of the world, where you've only got a few countries taking a different position. So that is, again, just looking at if the U.S. is voting for something, how often are they? And that's, again, one example where we know because we do a lot of work there. And again, I believe fundamentally this would actually help our work. We do have those in the U.S. who believe that we can't take actions like this and it's going to destabilize the world. Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst, is joining us now. And Harry, this is the statement now we're seeing. I told people this sounds to our audience oftentimes as pretty much straightforward. Yeah, why is this even a discussion? There's a lot of pressure and a lot of people within the State Department, inside our bureaucracy, at the United Nations and diplomats around the world who believe that this is too destabilizing to even threaten the funding. And I think you point out the examples of what happens to countries when they stop getting to work with the U.S. and what happens to their leaders when they stop working with the U.S. and they don't get the funding from the U.S. anymore.
Jordan, you're absolutely correct. Too many bureaucrats are strong believers in inertia. We've done it before. We've given money to countries that vote against our interest almost uniformly. President Trump, in his State of the Union address on January the 30th, announced a new policy. He observed that he took action to recognize Jerusalem. Yet many countries decided to vote against us, but then they want foreign aid from the United States. He said that as we strengthen friendships around the world, we are also restoring clarity about our adversaries. One way of doing this is to pass legislation that ensures American foreign assistance dollars always serve American interests and only go to America's friends. So what Nikki Haley is talking about, in culling the countries that receive foreign aid based on whether or not they support our interests, she is implementing, at least in part, the Trump doctrine. And I think that's a welcome move, and it's long overdue.
Tasha is calling in from Maine with a good question as well and comment. Tasha, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I just have to say it's one of these situations where you look around and say, am I crazy? Or
yeah.
Is it maybe I'm crazy, because it just doesn't make sense. I'm curious as to when did it begin that we started, I mean, trillions of dollars, just passing them out, and how did we decide who
and what?
How did
we get
what?
To this point where
at
we just
time,
started well, Harry, you mentioned it. It's the idea. It was a strategy that has failed. It was something probably, really, I would say you probably could start at the beginning of the United Nations. When the U.S. was working on kind of putting this institution together. So we said, we want you to join. We want the world to come together. We don't want another World War II. And because of that, we will help you. So we rebuilt countries. We did the Marshall Plan in Germany. We said, okay, we've got to make this work where the League of Nations failed. So we brought these countries in, and we've tried this. And we've tried it since 1948. And as Harry, as you said, that strategy is not – it's not turning into these countries becoming a foreign policy ally who is again, willing to stand up for us.
I think that's absolutely correct. So if you look at the commencement of the United Nations, it coincided, if you will, with the commencement of the Cold War. The Cold War brought greater clarity to U.S. interest, and it was very clear to many countries that if they opposed us, then we would not support them. However, over time, we've continued to provide foreign aid support without asking an essential question. The essential question is, are these countries for us or are they against us? And it turns out that many of these countries uniformly vote against U.S. interests. So, for instance, if you look at Vietnam, if you look at Ghana, if you look at many of these other countries, they vote against us at the United Nations almost 60 or 70% of the time.
Yep.
So it's ridiculous for us to continue to provide assistance to countries that do not necessarily have the best interests of the United States in mind. It's time to put U.S. interests first, as opposed to the interest of the bureaucrats, either at the State Department or at the United Nations.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a three-tiered plan. You look at, okay, how does this country's decision-making at the UN affect our economy, our security, and again, I think you could say, again, to the world, does it affect, like, stability in these regions or not? And I get to the point where there are countries that can make that argument, but there are most of them can't. Most of these countries in sub-Saharan Africa cannot make a good case of why you would vote against recognizing Jerusalem and condemning the U.S. for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It doesn't their domestic population, so the people supporting their politicians support that. Now, if you look at a country like Egypt, there could be an issue there. And so if you're working with us on keeping shipping lanes open, fighting ISIS, and other issues that provide security to the U.S., well, then we might say, okay, we need to keep funding apparatuses that keep that going, because we don't want to lose a ally on fighting terrorism, even if it's in their own country, who may be opposed to some of our actions that we take diplomatically, but aren't really acting post-vote on that. So they could actually put forward reasons, and in these countries who can't. And there are most of them don't have any reasons for that. Let's go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mike in Nevada on line 6. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Wow, thank you very much. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Thanks, Mike.
Anyway, I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you're doing a noble business here. What happens when our country starts getting investigated, like all the people that have been selling off everything in this country they can, and so they can become wealthy? What about those people that are...
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Ray in Alabama on line 4. Ray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hey, Jordan. Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm actually a private jet pilot. I've lived in Dubai for 4 years. And when you mentioned the UN and climate change, I just want to make a point to where a lot of those funds are actually diverted. And I've seen it to where they actually purchase private jets, which would actually be in opposition to a lot of their beliefs about climate change. And so it's kind of a joke, you know, when you're in West Africa or Southeast Asia and guys are using UN money to purchase private jets.
Yeah, and you're seeing, Ray, you're a great point. So you're seeing the private aviation world. So you're seeing a lot of businesses, a lot of people who are, again, but they are utilizing funds. I look at a lot of these countries and I say, okay, I've been to Zimbabwe half a dozen times. I haven't not seen anything that recognizes the U.S. funding any of these programs. It's very tough for our diplomat there to even function or operate. It's one of the smallest diplomatic staffs we have in the world, where we actually have an embassy. And you don't see it saying, yeah, paid for by the United States. I look for that as we travel. I've been to the Palestinian territories. You don't see that either. You don't see an American flag on the building saying, see, this is because of America that you're getting this hospital. This is because of America that you get this school. This is because of America that you're getting this food. This is because of America that you're getting the job training. And I'd feel a little bit different about it if that was the case. But I will tell you, on the ground, you will not find it. You will not see our flag, except for maybe at our embassy or consulate. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you.
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
And other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, so 1-800-684-3110. In our last segment of Jay Sekulow Live, we have a full bank of phone calls. If you're holding on there, we are going to go to the calls right away. Harry Hutchinson from our senior policy team mentioned how this decision by the U.S., and now we're starting to see it go from words at the State of the Union. I wanted to play that. And then to our U.N. ambassador, and now becoming a policy. We've played their U.N. ambassador, but it actually originated, too, with the State of the Union address by President Trump. Take a listen.
Shortly afterwards, dozens of countries voted in the United Nations General Assembly against America's sovereign right to make this decision. In 2016, American taxpayers generously sent those same countries more than $20 billion in aid. That is why tonight I am asking Congress to pass legislation to help ensure American foreign assistance dollars always serve American interests and only go to friends of America, not enemies of America.
So there's 2 points to make there. And Than, we discussed this during our break for our Facebook and Periscope audience. But in Washington, D.C., what the president is saying is stop sending the State Department hundreds of millions and billions, I mean billions of dollars, sorry, $20 billion, to play around with without any kind of direction on how they're spending the money. The administration, you know, so the president can make these decisions, but what he's calling for is a more long-term solution there as well, to say put these restrictions on these funding. Don't give the money. Don't just start handing out the money to the executive branch and letting them make every decision. Here's the money. Yes, they get a lot of foreign policy power, but if they've got those resources there, it's pretty easy for the bureaucrats in Washington to start handing it out. And so there's a short-term fix to this. The president can direct it at the UN. He's got the forward policy power of the Constitution. But the long-term fix is that the Congress keeps authorizing this money to these countries, too.
That's right. And you know, Jordan, the money leaves Capitol Hill really with two fundamental problems on opposite ends of the spectrum. The first one is the one that you just said, that there's no real guidance. And so then the deep state or the bureaucracy spends it as they see fit. And that causes all sorts of problems. Jordan, the other problem is sometimes it comes out that in a too restrictive way. And here's what I mean by that. The $400 million that can only be spent in Palestine. Yeah. So the administration really has their hands tied if they say, well, you know, Hamas is working against the national security of the United States, they should not be getting these dollars. Jordan, the restrictions that are in the statute prohibit the administration from withholding those funds. So Congress has to do a much better job of being specific about what the funds are for and then what tools the administration has to actually see those funds through.
All right, right to the phones we go. Ann is calling in from Colorado, online too. Ann, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. My recommendation is that our aid to humanitarian causes, whether at home or abroad, should be voluntary by individuals. It should not be taken by coercion, by taxpayers' money that the government can only take legally and sent to foreign governments. The governments of these foreign countries do not necessarily help their people.
Well, and you hit on right there as you got to the point, which is that a lot of this money never even gets. As I said, as Ray called in from Alabama, who's, again, it's a private aviation pilot, and so he's traveling a lot in the same countries I'm talking about, and you're not seeing the U.S. flag on, and I've seen, by the way, the Japanese flag outside of hospitals in the Palestinian Authority territories. So that not as controversial there. So paid for by the nation of Japan's fine. You don't see a lot of paid for by the United States and an American flag painted on the wall from by the Palestinian Authority. And instead, what you will see is graphic depictions praising those who have carried out suicide attacks against our ally, Israel, in that region. So you see that painted on the wall and some other country's flag painted on the wall, but not the United States. And yet we are the number one funding support for those Palestinian territories. We're the number one funding support for most of these countries that are saying, hey, we want to help. Here's why we help. But we need something in return. And whether that's security work, whether that's votes at the UN. There's different things that can be. Let's take some more phone calls and get into the discussion as well with our team here. Cheryl in Pennsylvania on line three. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jay, thank you. Hi, Jay. Thank you so much. I so agree with the caller prior to me. Obviously, there's no consequences if you don't tell the people that you're giving this money to, hey, this came from the United States, you know, and it's the leftist liberals that are just pouring this money through without any guilt or anything. And I love Donald Trump, and I see that he's actually just being so brave to open up the eyes of America.
Yeah. And Cheryl is actually, I mean, it's a true point that I'm trying to highlight on the show today, because a lot of us, we're conservatives. We get this idea that it seemed absurd that we were throwing this money. And we do a lot of international work. So, again, if I felt like this was something that was going to make all this international work that we've worked on for years, the ACLJ and our international affiliates, disappear overnight, I wouldn't be taking this position. But I am telling you, this would help the work that we do. This would help people who are persecuted. This would help people who are, again, have not gotten the support from corrupt leaders, who don't actually, the money doesn't trickle down to them. We've seen the endemic corruption at the United Nations, but it's happening even with the direct aid as well. And again, I'll take another call, and then, again, just keep these calls coming in today. Bill in Wyoming on line one. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good day to you, sir. I'd just like to add to what you said earlier on the program of the fact that these people are using the money to, like, build schools. We could tell them, hey, look, we don't know what you're building those schools for, maybe teaching terrorism against not only Israel but the United States.
Yep.
So we'll just go ahead and keep our money. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Well, and in these instances, again, you can do funding for security, Harry. You can do funding. There's different ways. But a lot of this is, we're writing these checks, and individually these checks to the U.S. budget don't look so huge. I mean, it sounds big, you know, $3 million here, $6 million here. But to our budget, that's not huge. But you put it together, and we're talking about billions each year.
Absolutely. So we're talking about a huge amount of money, and the last three callers raise a very relevant point, and that is accountability is lacking. Too often these funds are being diverted. They're being misused. Either they're going to corrupt leaders, or in some cases, particularly with respect to the Palestinian Authority, which is now aligned with Hamas, possibly to terrorism. So it's very, very important that we restore accountability, but at the end of the day, all of these funds must advance American interest.
We are not going to be able to get to Gretchen and Jason's call, but if you can hold on, let's get him a book for being on, for holding on the broadcast, Gretchen, Jason. A lot of phone calls today with a lot of thoughts. I want to highlight this. If you agree with this position, you better be ready to take a stand on it as this becomes implemented, because there's going to be a lot of opposition to something that sounds very straightforward and logical, that we're not going to dole out money to countries who fundamentally oppose our country as a nation at the world body of the United Nations. Again, if you support the work of the ACLJ and the work that we do around the world as well, this is a great time to do it. We have a matching challenge at aclj.org. Your donations are doubled. We have people who say, if you hit this amount, we will match those donations. So your 20 becomes 40, 50 becomes 100 at aclj.org. It's how we do the work that we do. It's how we put forward this broadcast every day. That's at aclj.org. We will talk to you next week.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.